Karen, and I'm here with my colleagues, Dr. Zanetta and Dr. Tiffany, and we are the Three Black Docs. We want to thank you for joining us for Happy Hour. We are grateful to have each and every one of you with us. Now, this is our first live discussion, and my hope is that you've been able to listen to our podcast, which dropped on Tuesday, and they are live now on every platform. So I want to thank our producer, Ashley, with Wings Production, who's really been so instrumental in getting us rocking and rolling. And you know what? It's happy hour. So let me go grab my drink. All right, all right. So I've got mine. Tiff, what you drinking?
Okay, brace yourself. Tea.
What?
Karen.
Oh,
never.
Is it a special green tea?
No, and likely not again. But tonight I am drinking tea for two reasons. One is, what, you openly laughing at me. That's fine.
Yes, yes, I am.
I'm telling you, it's probably not going to happen again. No, the two reasons, tummy upset being the main one, but also, tummy upset and just my nerves are bad today with everything, you know, that's been going on. And y'all know how I am in my nerves. So when my nerves are bad, I actually don't like to drink. I don't know. I like to drink when I'm
just
happy
saying,
and celebrating.
You are the red wine queen. So
I know. We got plenty of time. I'll get back to it. But today I'm having a nice herbal tea.
In a Saints cup.
All right.
And I can't make fun of Zanetta later when she tells
she
us whatever
in
it is
a
she's
Saints
drinking.
Will you,
all right. Yeah.
Please tell me you got some hardcore in your cup.
I do. I do. So I have water with crushed ice.
Crushed ice this time.
Crushed ice. Crushed ice. In a special cup.
What's, I can't
okay,
see it.
Do you see the special cup? You can only see one side of it. It's they're like little fish on the cup.
Oh.
You see that? Look
does
how
that have
that
special
is.
Meaning?
No.
Zanetta?
No. No, okay. I just tried to find a special cup
okay.
with water. Because I didn't say water in another language. I couldn't figure out which
Please
language.
Don't.
Since child,
Let's
you know
not
what?
Revisit
Since
that.
Child gave me such a hard time what last time.
Yeah. Child.
That
was French.
That was not French.
It wasn't. We're not going back there.
No, we're not going back. So you know, y'all, I've got my old fashioned. I did it right, and I'm actually drinking out of my Denver Broncos cup. So my sister-in-law lived in Denver, Colorado. So she.
Oh, okay.
I was about to say
any stretch.
You know,
right.
I'm Pats. That's why I went down
yeah.
the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Ago, right?
No, we're not going there either.
Yeah. I know the Saints. Yeah.
That's pretty disappointing.
So anyway, I'm drinking my old fashioned and rocking and rolling. So my hope is that our listeners and the folks who are kind of tuning in are also grabbing a drink. I know there are going to be some folk who will be like, don't you know about the risk of cancer and alcohol? Anyway.
Yeah,
so,
we're going to talk
we will
on a future episode.
About the risk of.
Yes.
We're going to get there. Don't worry about it. We're going to get there.
Yes. Everything in moderation, right, ladies? That's what I say. So I'm
right.
going to have my drink tonight, just saying. So, you know, I am very excited that we are here. Actually, it's funny because I have a couple of folks that are texting me saying they're trying to watch us but not able to see us. So hopefully we're going to check and make sure we're not having any technical difficulties, y'all. I do see some.
Yeah, it's, yeah I'm getting
in.
The same text.
Oh, and but, I don't have my phone, so...
Okay, so we're going to try to work on that. So hopefully we're not
form.
Having any major technical difficulties.
Right.
But there are folks who are trying to log on, and we'll try to get them. So again, if you've had a chance to look at the podcast or listen to the podcast, those dropped on Tuesday. Three Black Docs is going to be live, or we're going to have a new podcast that drops every Tuesday. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Please like, follow, and subscribe. But now what I would like to do is just do some intros, and we're going to get this out of the way so we can actually have our conversation. So just so y'all know, we really want to make sure that you guys are just peering into what our normal Friday evening events are. So let's do this. How about we start with how about Zanetta? Why don't you go ahead and start and give your little elevator speech and tell us
a
bit about yourself.
Well, I told a little bit in my video. Like, I am a proud native of Louisiana, but I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a cancer doctor, and I am really passionate about healthcare literacy and physician-patient communication. I want you to know and understand what is being said when you meet with your healthcare provider. You know, Martin Luther King said something, a quote that we've all heard, you know, of all the forms of inequality, injustice in healthcare is really the most inhumane. It really, really is.
Yep.
And
I knew I liked you, Zanetta, because I had that quote on a PowerPoint that I did in fellowship about cancer disparities. It's not my time to talk. Go ahead.
but that's really why. I mean, we're passionate about health in our community, and that's how this project started. So
yeah,
that's it.
What else you want to know?
What kind of cancers you treat?
I am a medical oncologist. So what does that mean? Are you getting fresh? Oh, close your eyes.
I'm not. Do I need to start banging my head already? Oh, Lord.
So I am a medical oncologist. And what does that mean? Oncologist means cancer doctor. And I give chemotherapy. So I treat people with all kinds of cancers. From breast and colon cancer to blood cancers such as leukemia and multiple myeloma and lymphoma. So I give chemotherapy. That's the kind of doctor I am. I live in Florida.
Okay, can we back up? Wait. Wait. You're skipping over all kinds of stuff. So that's not what you used to do. You just started doing that and treating everything. Let's talk about what your specialty is, because that is relevant.
So I recently switched career paths. I used to be an academic oncologist. And what that means is I worked at an academic institution. I was heavily involved in research. And I wrote a lot of studies and papers, and I specialized in a type of blood cancer called lymphoma. And I think over the past year or so, there's really been a change. I wanted to reach more people, and we moved states. I changed career paths. And instead of specializing in one kind of cancer, now I treat several different types of cancers. So are you satisfied with that? Because an elevator speech is supposed to be short.
Exactly.
I interrupted you.
Wait, flag on the play. You said this was going to be short.
That's
so
what
we
I'm saying.
Have our happy hour discussion that we need to have. That's
right.
Continued.
It is, but I just interrupted.
Go ahead.
Yes, you did.
Tiff, go ahead.
Tiffany,
go ahead.
Please.
Go with your goatee.
Go with your biography, please.
Okay. Hi, I'm Dr. Tiffany Avery, also a medical oncologist like Zanetta. We met, in fact, because we worked together in the same department with our offices right down the hall from each other. I was also an academic since I worked with Zanetta. We were at the same institution. My specialty when I was in academics was breast cancer. I did that for, I don't know, almost 9 years, I think. And while I was doing that, my research interest was in.
Tiffany specialized in breast cancer and trained at one of the top institutions in the country.
Yes,
Tiffany
MD Anderson.
MD Anderson in Houston. She will never tell you that. She is one of the best breast oncologists that we had. And I'll tell you, the first time I met Tiffany. Tiffany really doesn't know it. So it was back in 2010. We were at a conference and there was a room for trainees. And so they announced that someone had gotten a research award. And so they said, Tiffany Avery. And so I looked and Tiffany stood up. She turned around and waved. And I was like, wait, she's Black. Who is that?
Yes.
Who is that?
Yes.
This was 2010. I had not even decided that I was going into oncology yet. Tiffany was at MD Anderson as a fellow. And that actually was the very first time that I met her and I was like, I wonder who she is. And it's ironic, several years later, we met each other when she was interviewing for a job. And I said, your name sounds so familiar. Did you get an award back in 2010? And she was like, yep, that's me. So wow. It's interesting how our paths crossed, you know?
Yes. So that is so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
all right.
You know, I tell
Karen,
you,
your turn.
Yes, yes, especially while we're waiting for Tiffany to come back. So I'm Dr. Karen Wingfield. I am a radiation oncologist. So I'm still an oncologist, except I use x-rays and other types of energy to treat cancers. So, and as you know, cancer is an abnormal growth, right? And it's one that has gained the ability to kind of metastasize and go to other places. And that's why we treat it so aggressively. There are other tumors that are benign or they're not cancerous, such as, particularly for African American women's, fibroids in the uterus, right? It's a benign growth. It can certainly cause problems. But we use chemotherapy, systemic therapies, because there's hormones and other new targeted agents that come on. That's what Dr. Zanetta and Dr. Tiffany do. And I use x-rays and other types of energy to treat those tumors. And, you know, radiation therapy can sometimes be scary to folks. It's a bit of a black box. People don't know what it is. I have colleagues of mine who don't know what I do. But it's really the capacity to use energy in such a way where we can focus that energy on a site. So for instance,
And so what
breast cancer, yeah. Surgery is obviously one of the things. Yes, I know. So surgery is actually one of the tools in our toolbox. And so we can use surgery to kind of get rid of cancers, but we can also use systemic therapies and radiation. And oftentimes the three modalities are used at the same time. Hence the reason why I know Dr. Zanetta and Dr. Tiffany, because I was recruited down to North Carolina to an institution down here. And can I tell you, what was incredibly important for me was the fact that I was surrounded by oncologists who looked like me. And that was different. I mean, I was trained at Harvard and I stayed on faculty at Harvard, and I was the first Black radiation oncologist hired at Mass General Hospital. So
that's amazing.
There wasn't a
Isn't
whole
that
lot
amazing?
Of camaraderie, right?
Yeah.
No, it's not amazing.
Well,
that was
but
not
still,
that long ago.
But still, I mean, you're still making history. What if you hadn't done it?
Yeah, no,
I know.
By the way, I'm just saying it's ridiculous because of being the first. But that was what was so refreshing and so important about me kind of coming down and meeting both of you. You interviewed me. You interviewed me for my dang job.
I did.
So that's how we met. And then actually, Dr. Tiff was brought in to a dinner. Like, I don't know if it was the night before or the night of. And so I got to meet her there. Of course, she was late. You know, she didn't get to stuff. I'm just saying. She's not here. She can't defend herself.
She's but, back. Boom.
Yeah, so she showed up all late, but she showed up. I know you can hear me, right? Dr. Tim, I'm talking about you.
I shall not be denied.
Yes. Y'all, okay, so first of all, thank you, folks who are online right now. Thank you for joining Three Black Docs. We're so excited to have you. We're going to have some technical difficulties, y'all. I'm just saying, but it's okay. We're here. And so, Tiff, we actually shared your story for you, talking about how you treat breast cancer and training at MD Anderson, all that kind of stuff. And Z talked about the first time she met you. Was it at ASCO where she had won the award?
When you received the award at ASCO, but we didn't meet each other. Tiffany stood up.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You first saw her.
Right.
Well, in any event, I was talking about how when I came down to interview, you came out to dinner, but we're late. So, but it's all good. But here's the important thing. And so the reason why, Dr. Z, I wanted you to talk about what your specialty was when you were in academia was because it was really important for me. I'm a lymphoma radiation oncologist, so I treat hematologic malignancies, and for me, are blood cancers. It's important for me to have a colleague that I could really make sure that I felt confident in what they were doing. And you were probably the smartest person that interviewed with me during that whole time. And I just was so impressed by you. And I was so excited to have an opportunity to work with somebody who looked like me and to really take good care of patients. And similarly, I was asked to also treat breast. And I had been treating breast cancer as well when I was at Mass General. And so it was really cool to meet Dr. Tiff, who is a breast medical oncologist, and know that we were going to have this amazing team and could really give patients incredible, incredible care. So just want to start with that. Okay, so we've done our little intros. All right. So let's back up and talk about our Fridays. Because we do this every Friday. Right.
And we have been doing this every Friday. Every Friday at 8 o'clock. Yes. Every Friday at 8 o'clock.
Yes. Go ahead.
And so Tiffany started this entire thing. Tell us how, Tiffany.
Yeah. Ranting. So we would talk, and we all have in common this interest in, you know, disparities, like differences in cancer survival. And so when coronavirus came along, and we found ourselves having to socially distance and sort of take our talks just like we're doing now to Zoom, it became really apparent very quickly that with coronavirus, we were seeing the same stuff that we see with cancer that we talk about all the time, which was disparities. Okay, so once again, Black people dying more. And so I got angry, to be quite honest. And the two of these two had to hear, you know, many rants. And mainly I just got angry because I was like, again, with, you know, infectious disease, a pandemic, an epidemic, again, we're seeing the same numbers that we've seen, that we've learned about in cancer. And so I just got the feeling that I was tired of talking about it amongst ourselves and talking about it, you know, amongst physicians and people who know that it exists, and that we really just needed to get the word out there. And I wanted to start a conversation about like how to start moving the needle, you know, and we don't know what the answers are. You know, I'm gonna put that out there. We don't know what the answers are, but the thing that always struck me is we'll have these conversations about all of the reasons that we see what we see, and we'll, you know, we'll get into that, social reasons, economic reasons, you know, access to care reasons, chronic diseases, all that stuff that goes into it. But I really don't know what people who are affected by this think. What is the most useful way for us to tackle this, and what would make the biggest impact? What would people sign up to do? I mean,
so can I just back up even before we even started thinking about a podcast? The reason why we started having happy hour together, number one, is because both of y'all left me. All right. So I'm at this institution where we first met all by myself. Both of y'all left me, number one. But like you said, I mean, I think this whole COVID thing, I had to throw that out there. You see that? This whole COVID thing.
Petty. You
petty.
Are so
petty. Petty. Immature. Yes. I thought you were better than that.
Whatever. Whatever. Just saying. It was so hard with this COVID thing. Number one, but I think we had started having these three-way conversations. Now, most of them were just on the phone. Yeah. It was oftentimes around stuff that would drive us up a wall, right? And for me, I must say that having people who look like me that I could pick up the phone and say, girl, let me tell you what happened, right? And both of you know exactly, because you've been in academia, you've been in my shoes, you understand the environment in which I work. But you also understand the environment in which we live, and all the stresses and all that sort of stuff that we deal with on an everyday basis. That's how the happy hours first began. And then, of course, Dr. Tiff had to go ahead and throw a little wrench in there and talk about wanting to do something bigger. But I think that's important, right, Z? I mean, I think all of us
absolutely have passionate about this. Absolutely. There's so much going on in the world right now. And I think we are experiencing so many frustrations with everything that's going on. And really, when it comes to cancer, Black people often get it more and often die more. So some cancers, from colon cancer to prostate cancer to multiple myeloma, we are getting more of it. We are dying from it more. And so this is, it's hard. So you have What'd you say?
In breast, we actually don't get, we don't have the most.
It, except in breast cancer, we don't get it as much, but we die but more
we have
it.
Well, no, we have the same incidence now. That changed a couple of years ago, right? Where before I used to my lectures and say, I know, Tiff, I'm having a hard time hearing you, but I know back in the day, probably 5 years ago, I used to give lectures and say, Black women don't get breast cancer at the same rate as white women, but they die of it more. But that changed a couple of years ago. And I think part of it's we're doing a better job at screening, but the fact of the matter is we're still dying of breast cancer at much higher rates.
Exactly. And so you see what's happening to our community, and it has to change. I mean, I think for years and years, disparity, which really just means that, and Tiffany just said it, you know, disparity is basically when there's a difference. So basically there are Black people or other communities who have a worse outcome than white communities or non-Black communities. And so we have been talking about disparities for a very long time. And we know that we are having a harder time with these diseases, but we just have not moved the needle. We have not moved the needle. And this has to be done in our lifetime, you know? So I think that in the realms in which we were in, you know, we were kind of talking amongst ourselves. And I think if we are going to make any change, we have to include the stakeholders. And the stakeholders are the people who have it. I mean, I'm looking at the comments right now, and you know, there's someone who had triple negative breast cancer, which impacts Black women. It's an aggressive breast cancer.
Much higher rates.
Why can't we move the needle? Why can't we move the needle?
So for those of you who are joining us, we are the Three Black Docs. We want to thank you so much for joining us for this live discussion. Our podcast dropped on Tuesday, so if you haven't seen them yet, please check them out, give you a little bit of introduction into who we are and some of the conversations we already had. But right now, we're just kind of talking about some of the things that really have struck us. And I think, again, part of what brought this on is this whole COVID thing.
Right.
And seeing once again, yet again, Black people having the highest risk, worse outcomes, but that's not unique to infectious disease. It's not unique to cancer, is it?
Not at all. This is happening in stroke. This is happening in cardiovascular disease. And I think, I mean, it's almost pick a disease. And we have room for improvement.
Oh, big time. And I, you know, again, I like to give these lectures, particularly in the community, because I do feel like, unfortunately, I do feel like Blacks are oftentimes the last to know. They might not be aware that these specific disparities and these significant disparities exist in our communities, whether it be, like you said, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, which is a disease, by the way. It's a disease, and it's an addiction just the same way that smoking is an addiction, but we're not paying as much attention to it because, oh, it's okay that 60% of you know, African-Americans in North Carolina are obese, 60, right? Or is it 70 at this point, right? I mean, it's ridiculous. And that's what oftentimes will lead to some other things. And so it's a disease, and we've got to start talking about the diseases that differentially impact our communities. It's really, really important.
Yeah, so I am looking at some of the comments. And so if you can't see the comments, so Sandra Ross is asking.
Wait, Tiff, I can't hear you. Do you have your headphone on?
Yeah.
You have a headset, Tiffany?
Hold 1 second. I gotta find.
Okay, because can't hear you. Go ahead, Dr. Z.
So what are we not doing? Why are our outcomes worse? I in one of the podcasts, I talked about something called Black iatrophobia. Which, you know, there are some historical reasons why there is a general mistrust of the medical system. I'm not saying that's all of it, but that is definitely some of it. There has to be improvement within healthcare. There are, Karen's about to go on.
Please continue.
Karen's about to go in, but one of the things that really, really bothers me is that a lot I see a lot of people in our community who truly don't understand what is happening within their body. You know, you're given a diagnosis, you may be given medication, you don't know what, why, sometimes even how to take the medication. Another commenter, Ingria, is asking, like, could it be due to diet? Absolutely, diet plays a huge role in some of the things that Dr. Karen was talking about with things like obesity. Obesity puts you at higher risk for cancers. So, I mean, there are lots of things that are happening, but honestly, there are some systemic issues that that really, really, really are causing us to die more. That's your cue, Karen.
Thank you, because you saw as my head was about to explode. So two things we don't want to do. Number one, we don't want to blame communities Absolutely. For this, right? We have to have awareness about what are some of the issues. And we do have to take personal responsibility for some things, but this is not about blame. And one of the comments that I like to tell folks is that when we look at what health is, I think unfortunately in this country, the healthcare system does not focus on health. It focuses on disease, right? As clinicians, we don't get paid to
prevent disease,
right? We don't get paid to focus on health. We get paid to deal with a disease. So the focus in this country is inappropriate. And so that's one of the hurdles. The other hurdle is that when you look at what health is, and if you look at the World Health Organization's definition of health, it's really about the complexities. It's not just the absence or the presence of disease, but the total well-being of an individual, spiritual, mental, physical, all of those taken into consideration. And that includes the built environment. So to your point, not only just the institutional issues that there are, but it's how do people live? And here's where I'm about to drop it, because this week has been difficult for me as a Black woman. Oh, I guarantee you, this week has been difficult for a lot of Black folk. Mm-hmm. When you have George Floyd.
Yes. Come on. Can y'all
hear
guys?
Yes, we can.
Yes, can you hear me? Okay, Dr.
Okay.
Tiff.
All right. I'm back because I want to get in it.
Go ahead. But George Floyd dies because someone who said that they were going to protect all people decided that it was okay to brutalize this man. And then on top of it, we have the Christian Cooper story, where a person thinks it's okay to utilize the police to essentially hold someone or put someone in their place. This has been a tough week. So I want to talk about stress, because if you talk about all of the microaggressions, now these are major macroaggressions. When somebody dies because of racism, and yes, ooh, did I say a word? I said the R word, y'all. When somebody dies because of racism, that's problematic. But we deal with this all the time. So Tiff, I'm going to throw this to you.
Because
I need to take a break. I need to have a drink.
Well, first of all, I lost my tea. But, you know, we got on
How did you lose your tea?
Girl, running around the house looking for an iPad and earbuds and all this stuff. Anyway, when we started tonight and, you know, and we met right before we came on, and Karen said, I'm going to do introductions and, you know, you say a little few words and whatever. And I said, Karen, when are we going to get to our regular Friday chat? Because that's what I came for and that's what I need. I mean, that's cute. We can introduce ourselves to the people and whatever, but like, we need to get into it, because this is what I've been thinking about this week. We have this debate a lot, you know, is it what the patients are doing? Is it structural issues? Well, right now it's on stress. I mean, I'm gonna put myself on Front Street for those who don't know. When we have these discussions amongst ourselves, I'm a big lifestyle person, right? I'm like, we need more yoga, we need more exercise, you know, all of these things. And they're laughing because I got Karen to start doing yoga. But anyway, but I'm like, well, maybe Karen is right. How much yoga and how much running can we do if somebody is going to put their foot literally on your neck. And when you have to deal with the stress of looking at this, I have two sons, right? Every night, my husband and I are sitting down. Last night, we were like, what are we going to tell the boy? Like, what are we going to tell these boys? So you got, you know, the stress of also wanting to know what's going on, but balancing that with, okay, when is it too much? When is it too much on your mental health? Mm-hmm. When do you need to say, stop, I need to just step back and disengage, right? And so I started thinking about that. We know that stress has impact on cancer in terms of progression, you know?
And incidence.
The data about incidence is mixed, but the data on progression is there, right? About what it does to your body system over time and what it does to cancer.
Chronic stress can increase all kinds of conditions.
Of course. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so
I'm about to talk about epigenetics
living,
in a minute, y'all.
Well, it's epigenetics. We could get into
Thank
that.
You.
Or we
go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your story.
Do it in another episode or another discussion or whatever it is. We can talk about epigenetics. But the point is, if we know that stress impacts all of this stuff that we have more of, and we have a front row seat to the kind of stress we're under, what do we do? Does that mean that we need to be hypervigilant about how we're taking care of ourselves?
So I say yes, Karen shaking her head. And let me tell you why. Because the thing is, I mean, we have a leader who is sowing seeds of division, right? Those seeds are being watered. And the division, I don't see it going away in the near term. And honestly, we need to be healthy. We need to be able to fight. And I hear you, like, the stress is not going away. Like, these issues are not going away. But in the right now time, we are dying. In the right now time, we are dying.
Right.
And so in the right now time, even if I can't, so Karen is a systemic person. I am an individual person. Like, if one person is able to improve their health, and they feel empowered. I mean, I can't change police brutality. I can't change.
Is that true, though?
I think we can, and that's where I'm going to talk about. Go ahead, Zanetta.
I'm saying I can't. I'm saying How?
Is that true?
How?
Collectively, we can.
Collectively, we can, and we need to be healthy enough to do it.
Now that's true.
So, but how can you be healthy when you can't even run without getting shot? Right? Look at Ahmaud Arbery. Can't even run. So you can't run as a Black man. You can't run as we can't shop as Black people. We can't drive as Black people. We can't, you know, I mean, what? So here's the challenge.
I hear you, but we can't go under a rock either.
No, this is true.
Right?
This is true. But I think, like you said, the time is now. And what did your daddy say? I need for you to say what your daddy said, because the man is brilliant. Okay? Talk about that lack of leadership and tell the people.
Just really, like,
said.
You know, we do not have leaders right now. And he was saying when, you know, after Martin Luther King died, you know, the movement still needed to happen. And I'm ready for a revolution, whatever that looks like, right? Like, you want to stop spending money, I'm down for it.
Yes.
You want to go out and wear all Black, I am right here with you. But, like, I don't think that we can just sit down and give up. I think now we sit, we scream, we cry, but then next week we get up and keep going.
Now look, but this goes into why we wanted to start the podcast, and y'all blame me for all of this. But this goes into why, because you get so fed up when you see things, and it's like, okay, you're one person, right? So what's the one little thing that you can contribute? The one little thing for me, I was like, all right, maybe our conversation should go public. And if one person hears something, that they didn't know, or, you know, take some pearl about health back and changes their life, that would have been successful, right? I think the larger picture right now is like everybody, not just docs, everybody has something, I think, right, they can contribute here, right? Now, right, you know, you guys know this, and the ones who are listening will learn about this later. I'm a big lifestyle, healthy guru person. I have a garden. I have all this stuff, right? I'm in a Facebook group of gardeners, right, where people who are, they're not farmers. I mean, they have day jobs, but they have a lot of knowledge and expertise about how to plant your backyard garden, and they share that information. And they're helping us all be healthier. Do you know what I mean? And so I think it is not being overwhelmed, but just thinking about, like, what's that one little thing that you can contribute,
yep, right,
to improve things?
So I'm happy that you have a yard to have a garden, but there are lots
of
folks
who don't, Karen. Right? I know. And that's how you always come for me. And that's,
well, no, I'm not coming for you. I just feel like, again, I think we've got to be so the people, yeah, who are getting arrested, and this all, yeah, goes back to, I'm sorry, I cannot even finish the thought because my brain is going all over the place. This all goes back to what, Z? Slavery. And it really
goes
does.
Back to slavery. Slavery.
It really does. And so we had that conversation already, right, but let me tell you,
we are
still enslaved
people.
We have
this conversation
every week. Here's the deal. We are still enslaved. Do you know, yeah, that? All right. I'm going to go all the way back. So Emancipation Proclamation, right?
Okay.
1863, right? So they're going to free the slaves. Texas being the last one, 1865, right? So they're, yeah, going to be like, oh, that's because back there they're riding horses. So the news didn't get out. But here's the deal. Because the economy of the United States was built on the backs of slaves, black slaves and black people, it was an economic transaction where blacks were seen as property. They had to figure out another way to enslave black people. So what's fascinating is that instead of using slaves, right, they started working on the prison systems way back then in the late 1800s. And so there's a law on the books that would allow for the usage of folks who are incarcerated to be labor. So that's what started, yeah, early on this indiscriminate and very obvious incarceration of black men, because that's how this country continued to work on slavery. And just the same way that that knee on that neck is intimidation. That's what's been used. The reason why black people, because there was, and particularly in the South, there were almost a one-to-one in terms of the number of white people to the number of black people.
Right.
All right. In terms of slavery, right, back in the slavery, right, days, especially in the Deep South.
Right. In, okay, the Deep South.
And so people are like, well, why didn't the slaves revolt? First of all, they did. There were lots of slave revolts. So let's not get that twisted. People did try to revolt. But what was happening is that intimidation was used to put black folks in their place. Because remember, we weren't seen as being human. And in fact, there are still some folks who believe that. But the systems are designed, and there are people who continue to use intimidation to put us, quote unquote, in our place.
And so can we bring this to healthcare? So we go back to slavery, and yeah, someone wants to know the term that I use. It's called black iatrophobia, which is just an aversion to medicine, to healthcare that black people have. But slaves were purchased for medical experimentation. Our graves were robbed for dissections for medical students. I mean, this goes on and on, especially, I mean, in Georgia, there was a horrible case where thousands of slave bodies were found, and they were used by medical students for the purposes of dissection. And so if you bring that back to now, there are still, in our healthcare system, some of the things that you know, that we learned about Black people, really, there was no basis in fact. It just was, as far as disease, as far as pain tolerance, some of these things are still a problem now. So
right. And we talked about that in one of the podcasts. So you can go back and listen to the podcast to talk about, you know, to go back to that. So, but I think even more important is the slave mindset, right? Where these people are doing a number on us, even currently today. And this is what challenges our capacity as a people, as Black people, to move to the next level collectively. And remember, slavery was all about divide and conquer. They divided families, right? You have a family that comes over in a ship and they're going to break them apart. You know, husband, wife, children, all separated, going different places. That was the power of slavery back then, right? And so they're doing the same thing now. It's no different. Look at how many Black men are incarcerated, you know? So that's, again, I'm saying, and I hear you, Z, and again, people can go back to those podcasts and listen to your excellent discussion of slavery and how that is impacting things today. But I must say, slavery is still existing today. It's just in a different form.
I think so again, no one disagrees with you.
Nope. But again,
no one disagrees with you.
With all of that in the background and seeing how that plays out in our outcomes.
Right.
What do we do? I mean, thing is, your life is short, okay?
Yes.
And I intend to enjoy my life. I don't know about y'all, but I'm trying to live. Y'all know this, you know.
I'm learning.
To live. So I know that's why you have me. But anyway.
I know. I'm Thank you.
To do that, you have to be healthy, right?
You have to be healthy.
You have to have your health. And so this is our situation. We can talk all day about why it is the way it is, but for your skinny little time that you have here on Earth to enjoy a life, to have a life, what are we going to do to keep our health as good as we can keep it?
So how are you defining health, though? How are you defining health?
That's a good question.
Is it social context? Because, again, my definition of health includes social context.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. But
how are you defining it?
These are the conversations you and I have had. Do you wait for the social context to change? Or do you start
to
change things for yourself? Right.
I think all of that. I think it needs to be done. But how's and
so Karen, so you are into policy.
Yeah.
Karen, I mean, honestly, depending on who gets elected, I can see Karen on some table.
It's going to be a hot mess. It's going to be a hot mess.
It's going to be
a hot mess. We need to go out and vote.
Karen will be at the table, right? So Karen will be at the table. What do we tell our leaders? Because I'll be honest with you, really, there's only one person to vote for in the next election, right? But
truly,
Our voices have not been heard. I don't care who's, you know, maybe for 8 years, but outside of that, I mean, our collective voices have not been heard. What do we demand from our leaders when it comes to health?
Okay, so a couple of things. Number one,
that's a great question.
First of all,
I love
Matt Manning just wrote in. He's like, you know, think globally but act locally.
Yep.
Part of the challenge is that when you have people who only come out and vote every 4 years, they only vote in the presidential election, they're missing a huge component of what government is, and that's local government. And so we know that the local elections are really what drive what happens on the local level. And so I say that to say that, number one, sometimes the focus can be misplaced. What's happening in Washington absolutely affects what's happening locally, but it's really the local policies that can impact health in the greatest way. And we can go into that in a whole other, you know, we'll do that in podcast or something like that. But the other thing that's really important, I don't know that we've had a collective voice. I feel like our voice has been so dissociated. Like, who would you say represents the Black voice?
No one.
All right, then. So, like, AARP has lobbyists, right? So like if you're an older person, you have lobbyists hanging out in Washington, D.C. Who speaks?
No one speaks for us, Karen. If they did, I would be watching the Tracy Ellis movie right now.
What Tracy? Wait.
Did you see that high note where she's singing?
Yeah, she's supposed to be like her mother or something. She's supposed to be like Diana Ross.
Yeah.
What is this?
Girl, don't even.
I
digress. We'll go there another time.
But keep going.
You that local, policy.
Local policies.
This would be edited out of our conversation. But anyway,
no, it'll. Yeah.
Well, we're live. So we're live. There's no editing. So, yeah. So yes.
No editing.
So okay. So wait. Look. We've got 15 minutes. All right.
Okay.
So let's see.
Okay. Yes. Political change, Karen, and we know that's your wheelhouse. And again, I think we all have our own areas and what we need to do. You know that I've said to you, I refuse to wait around for people to change stuff before I get to live my life and be healthy.
Right.
Period. I refuse. Change is glacial.
But tell me what you're saying health is. I want to hear your definition of health because I'm struggling with that. Tell me what your definition of health is.
For me personally?
Sure.
It's being mentally well. It's being mentally well. It's being spiritually well, emotionally well, and physically well.
Right.
But so how can you be emotionally well when you have people getting shot in the street?
Exactly.
Talk to me about that.
Right. So radical self-care is what I'm getting at. Doing it to be hypervigilant.
Okay.
How are you well as a Black person when you are watching this every day?
Right.
As a mother of Black sons who is picturing my children.
Do you see Chantel's message?
I do. Hey, girl, you see my teeth?
Look, she said promoting good mental health and good physical health are
revolutionary
acts.
Yes, Chantel.
Yes.
We go since we were three.
Bring it.
Come on now, since we were three, we've been rolling. And that's why we think alike. But no, because I'm looking at this, I'm seeing my sons, I'm seeing my husband, I'm seeing my cousins, I'm seeing my friend's sons.
Right.
Right? And so at some point, I'm like, okay, look, I need to know what's going on. I need to be active. But at some point, I got to cut it. I have to know when I need
it. You can't take on the birth. Yeah.
Turn it off, go outside and get some air. For me.
Yeah.
For me.
Right. Sure,
because again, time is short.
Right.
Yes. And but let me interrupt.
Two things. One more thing.
Yes.
One more thing, because I missed
the This is every week, just so you know. This is every week.
Do it.
This is how it goes every week. Sorry, people.
Every week.
We're usually edited out, so it's a little bit cleaner. But anyway, point being, what the hell was my point? Oh, yes. Here's my second point. Second point. Social connection.
That this is incredibly important.
This is my point.
This is important. I'm trying to. I'm amening you. I'm.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh Lord. Here we go.
You know
what I'm saying. I'm here trying to help you on your point.
You know, we get a little. All right. Anyway, look. There's a book called Blue Zones. Right.
Blue Zones. Yes.
All right. All right. We got 10 minutes. Go ahead.
Blue Zones. No, it's important.
The longest the cultures around the world that have the highest longevity live the longest lives. Their elders are physically well, mentally well, emotionally well, okay? Right. And so it's like an anthropologic study of these different cultures around the world. And there's certain elements that are...
I'm trying to get to my point.
There are certain elements that are... that they found in each culture. One element was social connection.
Yeah.
Okay? We know there are animal studies about this. Again, the effects of social isolation on health, mental health, emotional health, and even physiologic health, right?
Sure.
And so another point that you were saying, like, what is healthy to me is healthy relationships. As you know, for me as well, healthy relationships, which also in turn pay out benefits in terms of your mental and emotional health. So I don't want that to get lost, the importance of having social connection. It gets back to us being a community and working together as a community.
Right.
And for people to have those connections and how truly important that is.
Just a side note. Blue Zones in the United States. I mean, a place is Loma Linda, California.
Loma Linda.
And why is that? Healthy diets.
Wait a minute. I need to just say this, y'all. So you know today is the second anniversary of JD's death. So today, my husband passed away 2 years ago. Okay?
Yep.
And
we know.
To Tiffany's point, I mean, Zanetta came. I was a hot stinking mess 2 days from now. She came over to my house, was mopping up the tears. Tiff was the one mopping up tears, helped me to get into yoga to help with my mind, spirit. I love it. But we have the capacity to do that. Do you know that my husband was sick for the entire time we were married, and I didn't have the capacity to focus on myself. Y'all
That's
saw
right.
it. I was overweight.
Right.
I've lost 50 pounds in the past 6 months, right? But here's the deal. Again, you have the luxury to think about your mental health. You have the luxury to think about your spiritual health. What about the communities that don't? And this is why we are out. This is Three Black Docs. Thank you all for joining us. We really appreciate you. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from the people who are on this call. We want to hear from the people who are going to listen afterward, because we are going to go ahead and put this out, as crazy as it is. We're going to put it out.
Lord.
But here's the deal. We want to hear from you. What are the ways? Right. How do you become radical? How do you do it when you're having to worry about not being able to walk on the street because you might get, you know, shot in your community? Or how do you do it when you're worried about being, you know, stopped by the cops? Or how do you do it when you are working three jobs because you don't have a living wage? How do you become radical in the way that you take care of your health and well-being? And I think that's an important thing, because again, health does include the social context. And so you you cannot disassociate that. We happen to be privileged, the three of us. And I'm going to say that, and I'm so grateful that I have the capacity. Ashley and I went out and walked today. We went to visit JD's memorial bench, right? So we went out there and we had the capacity to do that. What happens when folks don't? We have got to start having those conversations so that we can have that social context, so we can actually have that community and start building that.
And you know, this is exactly the reason I wanted to bring it out, because I get the sense that we sit around as privileged people, physicians, you know, and we get in these heated debates. And for those who are listening, we always get into these kind of debates. And Karen always shuts me down with my Pollyanna stuff. And we, you know, so that always happens. But for me, I'm like, but we have to do it. You know, we have to do it. So how do we do it with all of the barriers that we know are there? You know what I'm saying?
All right. So I'm looking at Tanya Hicks. So Tanya has a, and I apologize.
Hey,
Tanya.
That's another one. That's my line sister, y'all.
Okay. See, what the heck? Do we construct a 10-point plan and use AMA and Congress Black Caucus to voice it? Okay. Ooh, child. Yeah, we're going to have to.
Oh,
we're going to have to. Yeah, but
Tanya,
we're going to have to talk about policy.
Next time, me first before you come with these questions.
That's good. That's good. And I can talk about all that. I can talk about the policy piece, but I can tell you that is probably not the strongest way. I work with the Congressional Black Caucus, right? You know, I've worked with Joe Biden. Y'all know that. I mean, I can talk about a lot of these policy pieces. And I think that may be a component, but I do think we need to have a plan. But I think there has to be a ground game. This cannot just be about high-level conversations. There have to be people who understand the importance of these things, both in terms of the social, mental, you know, spiritual well-being. What does all that entail? But then how can we empower people who are on the ground, right? Not just us who are privileged to sit here and on this, you know, this conversation. How do we really empower people so that they can be a collective voice? Because I tell you, if it's a single voice, they're going to kill us. Just the same way they killed MLK, just the same way they killed Medgar Evers, just the same way they killed JFK and Robert Kennedy. Like, anytime there's a single standout voice, Malcolm X, right? They're going to kill you. But if you have a collective voice, they can't kill all of us. They're going to try. They're going to try. But we really do have to figure out how we can have a collective voice. And I think that's really where the ground game comes. So I like the 10-point, but we've got to make sure we have the people who are really most affected at the table for those discussions. And I tell you, as a community engagement expert, that's what I do. I run the Office of Community Outreach and Engagement. And it's really important, because oftentimes there are discussions that are being had up in these ivory towers or wherever they are, conversations that we had, and it's really not necessarily directly relevant to the people who we really want to have at the table. So you've been quiet.
I have been quiet. I've been listening to y'all
speak,
go, you know, back and forth, and still at the end of the day, people have health issues that they will deal with next week, right? And so how can we need to collectively empower our community? And so on my very small scale, I mean, before we, you know, get kind of locally and larger, what I challenge the audience for next week is to reach out to someone that you care about who may have something going on next week and ask them, you know, do they have an appointment with their physician? What do they understand from that appointment? How can you all work together just on a small level to help with health? You know, just like Karen was saying, you know, when JD was sick, honestly, I didn't realize the extent of what she was going through. And looking back, if I could have done more to help offset some of that burden, I would absolutely do it. Even if it's, you know what, she can't go to the grocery store, but you know what, I can go for her. We have got to be a community. We have to help each yes. other. And this is how we do it. I mean, I think we all want a revolution and we start small. Yeah.
Yes. And to that point, because I've seen a couple of comments here about mental health. How about asking people who are in the Black community, how are you doing with this George Floyd thing?
Right.
Even starting that conversation, because the mental health piece is real. And right. I think, you know, even for folks who are of different cultures and different racial and ethnic backgrounds, for them to come up and ask that question, but really be interested, right? So this is not, I think, yes, collectively as Black people, we need to have those conversations. Right. We need to ask each other and check in particularly with your Black men, you know?
Right.
I mean, both of y'all have Black boys.
Right.
And I don't even know.
It's scary.
How you guys are dealing with all this. But really asking that question. And yes, there are medical issues and we're happy to, and I hope that, again, our listeners, please, please, please. I know there are a lot of questions. I see questions about triple negative breast cancer. Please put your questions in. We're recording all this. We will make sure that there's podcasts that are going to be directed to this. We're going to be live once a month. The podcast is going to drop every Tuesday. So every Tuesday, check in 3 Black Docs, okay? Wherever your podcasts are, we are on also Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. So make sure that you're checking in and like, subscribe so you can get that information, because we will talk about all the topics that you've put right. on here. But I do think that the live discussions really are going to be our opportunity to really hear, you know, from folks. We hope that people will definitely lay comments on us, you know, in the recordings, etc. But it's really important. I think that these discussions are incredibly important, and I value both of you so much, and I miss you guys at work, so I'm so glad we're able to do this once a week. It's awesome. Sometimes, y'all, we be spending 3 hours at a time doing this, right?
Yeah.
You know, it depends. Y'all have husband, I don't have to worry about
this
that.
This was tame. This was tame. We usually go in more.
Because it's live and it can't be edited.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if y'all saw, but I dropped off again, so I kind of missed.
Yes, you did. We saw you. It's okay.
Yeah, but it sounds like y'all did a good wrap up, you know. good job.
Yeah, I think importantly, I mean, honestly, we are so passionate about the community, and there truly is no ulterior motive except to promote health and well-being within our community. Yes. If we can do that, then honestly, that makes my career complete. I'll be honest with you.
And if this is all drivel, you can tell us that too, and we could go back to like not
and we can do
our Friday talks.
Right.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
We can
exactly.
Do that, but too. There is no ego, know, amigo. If y'all
right.
say, hey, no. this sucks, never do this again.
Yes.
We'll say fine. Thank you for playing
yep.
and
thank
good
you.
Night.
Thank you very much. Yes.
But
yes.
you know, if it's useful, then tell us how to be even more useful. Right.
Yes.
And I don't know if you got into this, but and you might start to get a sense of this, but we all are friends, but we all have very different approaches to this. And
right.
we think differently. And so,
right.
you know, you heard Karen is, if we all, I think we all support all three of these, mm-hmm. but they're definitely, there are areas that each of us is most passionate about. Clearly for Karen,
right.
it's political. Clearly for me, it's not waiting around for that and starting with you and getting your health together.
Right.
And clearly for Zanetta, it's like, what, you know, when you're in your doctor's office, how are you going to get the most from those experiences to care for yourself? So,
yeah.
So we each have those very different but complementary focal points, I guess you could say, why we all are interested in all three. And so there's room here. There's room, I think, for people who think differently about this. There's room,
and we've got
to
learn how to have discussions.
Yes,
we've got to learn how to have real discussions. We don't do it. Not being PC.
We do.
Having conversation. Yeah. Oh, I know we do. But listen, y'all, we've got to wrap up. It is is 1 hour in, and we are just so grateful for y'all coming and checking in to our first live.
Woo-hoo!
We're so excited.
Whoever
Thank you all
here,
very much.
That? I can't see.
Was that your cowboy, Karen? It was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? Oh, man. Come on, y'all. All right. Maybe you need to close out with a prayer, right?
I know.
Lord. All right. Listen, folks, take care. Have a great night. Thanks for tuning in. Three Black Docs. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Insta. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a good night.
Bye. All right, bye, y'all.